And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that puts this life of Jesus in our hearts, Lord, and gives us a song to sing, even a praise to our God. Thank you, Father. I pray you'll bless your word as we look at it now. Give us understanding, but Lord, not just for our heads, but for our hearts, for our spirits, that we may be enriched in our experience and knowledge of Jesus. And as a result of that, Lord, be strong in a world that needs to know Jesus. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you. Right then, please. Here we are. We're thinking about Passover and the Last Supper, because it's Passover week. I don't know if you realise that, but it is. It should be Easter, but they changed all that. But it's Passover week. That's the week when Jesus died on the cross. And so, just to give you some thoughts about this, here are two pictures painted by the very famous artists Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci of the Last Supper. Why they call it the last, I do not know, because Jesus ate after this as well, you know. But anyway, it's called the Last Supper. What's the odd things about it? Let's have a look at it in this one. First of all, at the top here, what have I got this arrow telling us here?
There's nothing on the table.
There's nothing on the table. It was a meal they went to. And I don't think they finished it all off and not left anything then. So there's nothing on the table on that one. And so we have this one here. How about this one, this little arrow here? What's that say? What's odd about that?
The windows, isn't
it? Well, apart from the windows, we come to the windows. No. It's a Greek building. And they were in a Jewish city with Jewish buildings. It's a Greek building. That's, I mean, Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci probably knew all that, but they were painting for their time and setting that. And then what about this one? This little one, what's this about?
It's not something to do with Da Vinci Code, is it?
No, it's nothing to do with the Da Vinci Code at all. Sorry?
The time of day.
The time of day. When did Jesus celebrate the Passover meal? In the evening. Right, so time of day is wrong. And last of all, the one at the bottom, what's odd about that?
They didn't have a table.
Well, it's sort of a low lying table. They were reclining. So, got it all wrong, really, haven't we? But trying to convey something at least. There's Jesus in the middle with all the disciples around him. They're all asking questions and so on. So, we're going to look at the background to the Last Supper. And the background is the Passover. So, just to get a feel of what was happening. And you'll see as we look at the Last Supper, how the Passover, little incidents in the Passover sequence turn out in the Gospel story. So next then, please. Right. So 3,500 years ago, something amazing happened. And that was the Passover. When the angel of death passed over the houses of those people who had slaughtered the lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the door. Yes, they believed God had said that judgment would come, and therefore they took the escape route that God had provided, the sacrifice of a lamb to provide them protection from the wrath of God. So that's what happened 3,500 years ago, quite an amazing event in the history of the Israelites. So let's have a look at our next one. So because it was an amazing event, God told them to remember it, that they should remember this. And for the Israelites were commanded to remember this through all generations. And here's one example of that from the Bible, the Old Testament. Leviticus 23, verses 5 to 8. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's festival of unleavened bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. So in Israel this week, they're celebrating Passover, because it's Passover week. So they're following those instructions. Let's just have a look at our next one, please. Just a little bit of detail. The first month, well, it's not our first month, is it? But it's the Jewish first month. And it says, Passover starts on the night of the full moon after the northern vernal equinox. But you knew that, didn't you? Did you know it was a full moon last Wednesday?
Yes.
You did see that?
Yes.
Well, that's the Passover moon. That was the start of the Passover season.
Is that when they eat outside?
Sorry?
Is that when they eat outside?
No. That's just that they know what time it is. God created the clock. Well, it's a big clock. It's the sun and the moon and the stars. Pretty big clock. But it tells you the time of day, the time of month, and the time of year. That's all you need to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, that's... The vernal equinox was earlier on, and last Wednesday night was the full moon that leads us into the 14th month of the Hebrew month of Nisan. It's the first month, and it lasts for 7 days, the feast. In the northern hemisphere, that's where we are, that's where Israel is, in the northern hemisphere, Passover takes place in spring. Spring, isn't it? Right? And that's prescribed in Exodus. He says, celebrated in the month of Aviv, or Abib. And the word Abib means green. Celebrate it in the green month. So it's spring month. You may be interested to know, just a little thought for you. The phrase to spring clean comes from the Jewish practice of clearing out the houses of all the yeast before the Passover. And we call the habit of spring cleaning from that. That's really where the name comes from. Right, next then please. So, Passover was one of the three pilgrimage festivals during which the entire population of the kingdom of Judah came to the temple in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the focus point for the Passover. That's why Jesus was there for the Passover. It's also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread because they've got to have any yeast around or leaven. Right? And they sweep the house out, they check everything out, and they have to burn some on the day as they start. So it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After that, no yeast for the rest of the week. Okay, next please. The focus of the festival was the sacrifice of the paschal lamb. Here's a poor lamb being sacrificed. Every family large enough to completely consume a young lamb or wild goat was required to offer one for sacrifice at the temple on the afternoon of the 14th day of Nisan. So on that afternoon of the 14th, they took their lamb to the temple, it was sacrificed, and then they took it home to prepare the roast. Okay, that's what they did. And they do eat it at night. The sacrifice could not be offered with anything leavened and had to be roasted, taking care not to break any bones, and then eaten together with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Strange little thing that. No, you're not to break the bones. Not to boil it. Not to boil it, it was roasted. Roasted whole. The symbolism of that, the meaning of it, all pointing to Jesus. Yeah. Jesus was roasted whole on the cross. He suffered immense torment and suffering on the cross. No bone was to be broken, but the bones of the two thieves were broken in order to finish them off. But Jesus had died already, so they didn't break his bones. Fancy that, 2,500 years before, it was told, it was, or 1,500 years before, he was going to be dying without his bones broken. And they just celebrate, eating together with unleavened bread, that's one of these flat bread cakes, and with bitter herbs and a sort of a paste that was made as well. I'll explain those in a moment. So that's what was going on in the Passover meal. And it's been celebrated like that from the beginning. I don't know how much all the details are, but much like that, right from the beginning. So Jesus will be doing something like this. Next then, please. The regulations for the original Passover at the time of the Exodus also included how the meal was to be eaten. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So, well, for the first time, they had to leave Egypt pretty sharp. So it was a quick time, no time to get ready and all that, so you're ready to go when God says. But, obviously, that changed later on, so that it was a more relaxed thing. So I suspect they didn't quite go into all the detail of getting ready to get out the door as soon as they got the meal finished. Next then, please. So, here's the Passover meal set out now. That's today's one. One of the important things that's missing in the modern Passover is there's no temple. So they can't sacrifice a lamb, but they have a shin bone or something like that as part of the meal. So, but the reason for the Passover was it is to remember what they had experienced and who they are. It was to remind the Jews that they had been set free from slavery in Egypt. Something to be grateful to God for. what God had done for them, and to remind them they were chosen by God to be his people, to reveal his glory to the world. So they weren't just chosen to be chosen, they were chosen for a job, to make the name of God praised in the earth. So that's what the Passover was all about. And for thousands of years, every year on the 14th and 15th of Nisan, the Passover began, and people celebrated it. On this last year of Jesus' life on earth, Jesus did the same in Jerusalem. So next, please. The various elements to the evening include these, and you'll see some of these in the Gospel story. A blessing and a drinking of the first cup of wine. There were four cups of wine in the service. Eating a leafy vegetable dipped in salt water. Why did they have the salt water? It was to remind them of the tears that they'd wept in their slavery. So the salt water was there to remind them of their tears. They broke the bread, and a large piece was set aside to be eaten later. That's one of the things they did as well. And then they told the story again, and they asked questions. What happened? Why were we slaves and all of this? And so the children ask the stories. It's fun for the kids as well. They have to make sure there's no yeast around, so they go hunting all over the house to find as well. But it's the Passover story is about what God had done for them. It's to remind them of their experience, their who they are as a people that God had called, right? Then they serve, then they eat the bitter herbs. It was a mix of stuff. And it's a clay cooking like material. Why did they have a clay material to eat? To remind them of the clay they used for making the bricks in Egypt. Right, so it's all symbolic, of course, right? Then they had the main meal, and eating, then they ate the remaining piece of bread. Probably that was the one that Jesus broke, as we'll see. Yeah? Then there was a blessing after the meal, a drinking of the third cup of wine, and then a recital of Psalm 136. And then they finished off with the drinking of the fourth cup of wine. So that's the Passover special meal. And that's what we're going to go and look at with Jesus now. Okay. We have preparations, first of all. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And so he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left and went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. And so they prepared the Passover. And when evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. Now what's going on there? What's going on there? Why all this secrecy? Jesus, the disciples ask, "Where are we going to have the Passover?" And Jesus says, "Go into the town ahead of you, and you'll find a guy carrying a water jar." That's odd. It's the girls who carry the water jars. So it's a prearranged signal with this chap that they'll see, the disciples will meet this chap, and he'll lead them to the place where Jesus is going to celebrate the Passover. It's all been prearranged. That's what it looks like to me, quite clearly. Jesus has had a word with the guy, and he's arranged, that's when we're going to have the Passover, but he didn't tell the disciples. The disciples find out when they get there. Yeah. Why did Jesus do that? Judas had already agreed to betray Jesus. Yeah. And if Judas had known that Jesus was at the house, the cops would have arrived there. Yeah. But Jesus wanted to celebrate the Passover before he was arrested. So it's secret. So he keeps it secret, and Judas couldn't do it, couldn't tell the authorities where Jesus was until after the meal, or during the meal. He leaves during the Passover, goes and tells the high priests and those, and then they find Jesus in the garden. But Jesus celebrated the Passover, that was his intention, because he is fulfilling the Passover itself. So all this secrecy, and the disciples go and make the preparations. What do? They sacrifice the lamb, they get the meal ready, they get the place sorted out, make sure there's no yeast around. So everything's ready for the time when Jesus arrives at evening time. Sun's going down. Okay, so it's getting dark. Right, next please. So, first shock, and I don't know entirely how all the sequence of all this is, but all the things I want to share with you happened during the Passover time, somewhere in the secrets. Number shock number one, I think this was at the beginning. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. They weren't expecting that. They were expecting somebody else to do it. Everybody else but me. You know that one? Somebody's got a job here, but it's somebody else, not me. And they all avoided washing the feet, which was a custom when you entered into a house, freshen up your feet. Well, Jesus, because they're all looking at each other, who's going to do it? And Jesus gets down and starts washing their feet. Of course, it's a tremendous shock. Peter doesn't want it to happen. You know, we've got to learn to receive, haven't we? We've got to learn to receive. And Peter, well, he found that hard, but he said, Jesus said to him, if you don't let me wash your feet, you've got no part with me. And then Peter, the enthusiast, says, well, not just my feet, everything. But that's Peter's point. So that was quite something strange already. Right, an introduction here. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And it's quite amazing. It says in John's Gospel, where this is written, it says, Jesus, knowing that he'd come from glory and he was going back to glory, that's top of the list, yeah? The CEO of glory, yeah? And knowing that who he was, he knelt down and washed their feet. Jesus wants to wash your feet. He wants to bless you, even though he's the king. But it's a lesson for us all. He says, now I've done this for you, you ought to start to learn doing it for others. We'll see that they didn't quite get this during the Passover meal. It's a family occasion. Let's have a look at our next shock. Shock number two. Verily I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. Lord, who is it? Jesus answered. It's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon's son, son of Simon Iscariot. The remarkable thing about this is that Jesus drops this bombshell in the middle of the meal, saying somebody's going to betray him. And the amazing thing about it is, nobody knew who it was except Jesus and Judas. How good was Judas at covering his tracks? You know, I spoke about John Bunyan saying they'd love to have a church that was too hot for hypocrites. There's one here, in this room, where Jesus is. And nobody knew except Judas and Jesus. But Peter and John wanted to know what's going on. Say to Jesus, go on, tell us who it is then. And Jesus takes some of that clay stuff, dips it with the bread, and gives it to Judas. That was a special honour to be served that way. Jesus was doing him a favour. And yet Judas rejects it all and then goes out and tells the authorities where they can find Jesus.
Doesn't he know then that he's going to... Because Jesus said that the one I give dip the bread in, right? Yeah. And he'd done it to Judas, didn't he?
He gave it to
Judas. So Judas knew that he
knew. Judas knew that Jesus knew, yes. Yeah. Judas knew that, yeah. But none of the other disciples knew that, except those two that Jesus had told, the one I give it to. Because the rest of them thought he'd just gone out to get something else. So, shot number two. It's not going to be a very pleasant evening, this at this rate, is it?
So do you think that he... did that serving Judas immediately after he'd said to them,
yeah,
this is who it is,
yes.
So that they
I think did they did, yes, yes, yeah,
yeah.
Yes. The whole sequence is not always quite clear, but all these events happen, so we can try and piece it together, yes. Next, please, then, yeah. Shot number three. It's a family occasion, remember? They're celebrating what God's done for them, who they are, how God's blessed them as a people. And what do they start talking about and arguing about? Who's going to be top of the pile? Who's going to be the greatest? Great stuff, eh? And then, whether it was before or after Jesus washed their feet, I think it was after Jesus washed their feet, they should have got the message, shouldn't they? Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus says, well, I have shown you how to be great. You become the servant. That's the way. You know, God's kingdom is upside down compared to the world. Our kingdoms are top of the pile and the lot at the bottom. Jesus says the one who's most important is the one who's holding everybody else up. So, great, wonderful, family occasion. Love one another. That's when he said it, you know. Love one another. They've got to learn yet. Next, please. Shot number four. Peter, talking to Peter, says, you will deny me, deny knowing me, Peter. And Jesus could say, I tell you, when the cock crows, you'll have been denying me three times. Peter, of course, he was shocked by that. He would never deny Jesus, would he? Well, he thought he wouldn't. He thought he wouldn't. He didn't know himself. But he did. And that was another thing. And of course, when Peter says, no, I won't deny him, all the others say the same. And what did all of them do? Did a runner. They didn't deny Jesus like Peter did, but they weren't there, were they? Yes, they scarfed. Shock number four, that was. So shock number five coming up next, right? Shock number five. During this Passover meal, Jesus takes the bread, which is normally distributed as they share it out, as they eat, just part of the meal. But Jesus says this. During the Passover meal, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. Strange, isn't it? What's he on about? This is my body, broken for you. Wow. Well, it's bread still. It didn't change into Jesus' body. There's nothing magical about this. Yes. But it's representing his body. Something's going to happen. His bones weren't broken, but Jesus was. So that's the next shot. Shot number six coming up. After the meal, he took the remaining cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So he says, this is my blood now. Represents my blood. But it also represents the new covenant. Jesus is introducing something completely different. It had been promised long before that at the first giving of the commands of God, he gave them their commandments, he gave them their laws, and then in Jeremiah he says, I'll give you a new one, because you've broken all my commands, you've turned from me, you've abandoned me, so I will give you a new covenant. And what's the difference between the new and the old?
There's no sacrifice.
Yes. But what's the essential difference? He says, I will write my law in your hearts. In other words, it's not on the outside, it's coming on the inside. God's mind, God's will, God's plan, God's desires are part of you now, not just being told that you want as well. So that was the number shot, number six shot. Right, next please then. Right, so shot number seven. Jesus says, do this, repeat this, do this in remembrance of me, to remember me. That's quite, I mean we take all these things for granted, at least I do, I've just been thinking about it, it's astounding. Jesus is changing it all. The Passover was to remember what God had done for the Israelites, and the slavery that they were in, and it was to show them who they were as a people. And Jesus says, now the Passover meal is about me. It's always been about him, but they hadn't seen that, of course. Do this in remembrance of me, to remember who Jesus is. What is he? He's the sacrificial lamb. He's going to die for your sins. He's going to set you free from slavery, not just slavery like to the Pharaoh, but slavery to Satan and to sin. That's the Exodus Jesus is going to do for you. And do it because he's the Passover lamb who's going to die for us. And he's going to do it for us. So do it to remember what he's done for you and for me. That was what the Passover thing was all about. And then, finally, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You can't see the trees there, it's very dark, but there are some trees in that picture. He went out to the Mount of Olives after they'd sung a hymn. Remember how the Passover thing goes? They sang hymns at the end. It's the great Hallel, it's called, the Hallelujah chorus, we could say, of some psalms. And the centre of them is Psalm 136. We're going to be learning that in the morning, or singing a version of it in a few moments. But Jesus, having gone through all of this, sings, my body's going to be broken for you, my blood's going to be shed for you. He then goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the whole dark process begins. Jesus wanted to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. He wanted to be there with them, and just to enjoy that moment. Very precious. Fulfilling ages of prophecy. And also foretelling what was going to happen. That's Jesus' faith. Amazing, eh? And then, willingly, he goes out into the dark, into that place, to pray. And what was his prayer? Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Jesus knew how terrible it was going to be. He asked if it could be any other way, But not my will, but your will be done, Father. Do you know why? Because there isn't another way for you to be saved. There is no other escape route except through Jesus and what he's done for us. And you have to trust that. You have to believe that. And if you do, your sins are covered. The blood's over your door, and the angel will pass over you. So Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives with the disciples, and the brave souls, what did they do? Three of them fell asleep, the rest of them did a runner, and Jesus is left alone. And although it was tragic and terrible for Jesus, it had to be that way, because there's only one person who could save you. It's not disciples, it's not apostles, not all these great guys, it's Jesus, and only Jesus. But he does say, praise his name. I think that's it, is it? Yes, thank you. So we're going to try and sing this song. It's Give Thanks to the Lord our God. I'll just read you a little bit of Psalm 136. There's a line repeated in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His love endures forever. And just to let you know what the phrase or the word love is there? You know what that word is? It's that special word.
Agape.
No, in the Hebrew is what I mean, yes. It is his agape love, of course. But what's the... I've told you this Hebrew word before. This is chesed. Remember that chesed? It's not just any old love. It's not just any old love. It's God's covenant love. It's God's promise love. The word covers mercy, grace, love, everlasting love, all that bandaged up in that one word. So this is
Psalm. How do you spell it, Dennis?
CH, if you want to, it's H E S E D, but the H is pronounced as a ch. Chesed, yes. You didn't worry about it, just me being silly. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. And the moon and the stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. And so it goes up. It's the history of the creation. It's the history of the redemption of Israel. And they're singing about that on those last times that Jesus was there with his disciples in that little room. His love endures forever. It's true. Are you experiencing it? Yes. Not just the gooey feeling, you know. It's the God's mercy. God's grace. God's abundant love. It's the same word in the Psalm 23. Surely goodness and
mercy.
Mercy, but it's that word, love, loving kindness, chesed. God's mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's because Jesus is back in us. Praise his name.
Is that, I mean, for myself, I think that is why you have to be born again. How I understood it, I could never understand the word grace. I used to ask that when you enter in and get born
experience
again,
of it,
you're changed in that way, and you understand
the light comes
grace.
On.
So
yes,
you know that is
God's loved me, forgiven me for all I am and all I was. He still loves me. Yes, yes. There's a famous Christian hymn writer, St. Anselm, I think he's called. And one of he said it in Latin, but the translation idea is, it's better felt than told. Yes? Better felt than told, of course. Let's try singing this song. See how it gets, eh?